morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Well, all our thoughts this morning are on Florida as Hurricane Ian hit yesterday afternoon, a Category 4 hurricane, one of the most powerful storms ever recorded. And it hit in southwest Florida, caused tremendous devastation and flooding and wind damage. And, you know, when things like this happen, it's hard to comprehend why. And we have lots of questions. We have lots of fears. It's good to go to the Word of God and receive comfort. And the Lord says in Isaiah 43, verse 2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. He has promised to never leave us and never forsake us. But as our thoughts and our attention go to Florida, I called this morning, texted my good friend Dr. Tom Askell, who lives in Cape Coral, Florida. He's pastored there for many, many years. And I asked Tom if he would come on the program to talk about what's going on in Southwest Florida. So, Dr. Askell, thank you for being my guest on Real Truth for Today.
Jeff, thanks so much for having me on, brother. It's good to talk with you again.
Well, it's good to talk to you too. Okay, so you had a scheduled vacation, so you are not in Cape Coral, but tell us what's going on because you have family members that are there.
Yes, that's right. I've got six kids and 15 grandkids, a couple on the way who are there. They all are safe by God's grace. They suffered some damage to homes and property, but they're all safe. And the church members, most of them seem to be safe. We've still not heard from some, but we got teams going out today that are looking to let's check on the folks that we've not yet been able to hear from. So the devastation from the descriptions and pictures, conversations I've had, is just hard to comprehend. Our Lee County Sheriff announced just a little while ago that the loss of life is in the hundreds. It's just hard.
That's horrible. Did your church get hammered real hard?
We don't know. Nobody's been able to get out. You know, the road's been closed. Curfew was enacted last night. There are power lines down everywhere. So we've got a couple of men that have been able to go off-road and get around things to do some checking, but I've not had anybody report in on our facilities. It's as important as it is, it's not as important as some of the other things we've got to get done. And some of our folks lost their homes completely. We have one of our firefighters who was on duty when all the emergency services shut down when winds reached 45 miles an hour. Only the fire department stayed working, and he was on one of those trucks, and his house was lost, and another member's house was lost that we know of. So we're just trying to check on everybody we can this morning.
When are you planning to go back, Tom?
Tomorrow, God willing. We were able, through the kindness of God and the kindness of Delta Airlines, they rearranged things. They weren't going to be able to do it if we weren't going to be able to afford what they could do. But God turned their hearts toward us yesterday, and so they've granted us a change of ticket and flight for tomorrow. So God willing, we'll be home tomorrow if the airport's open. It's closed right now, but we are praying that God will get it open and we'll be able to be one of the first flights in.
How far is Cape Coral from Fort Myers? Because Fort Myers was the point of entry.
Cape Coral and Fort Myers are twin cities. We're separated by the Caloosahatchee River, which is one of the sources of the storm surge. I haven't heard the reports, but they were reporting yesterday afternoon, last night, that they expected the river to exceed its boundaries and its banks by 10 miles on either side.
Wow.
And one of our staff members had the river come right up to his house in his backyard, but didn't make it into his house. So, so we're twin cities. You know, that it's reported as a Hurricane 4 or a Category 4 hurricane, but I've read reports from those on the ground that say that once all the assessment's done, they fully expect to be categorized as a Cat 5. But we know of sustained winds over 140 miles an hour. And, there were reported winds of 155 when it hit, and I think 157 is Cat 5. So anyway, but yeah, so Fort Myers, Cape Coral, Twin Cities, and Fort Myers, the storm surge was much worse in Fort Myers than Cape Coral. I saw confirmed reports of 8 feet, and this morning I've heard reports of up to 12 feet, but I haven't confirmed those with officials. So, yeah, it's, I mean, shops, water, you know, up to the ceiling almost of downtown shops. And so it's catastrophic, and has been, you know, it'll take a long time to rebuild. But by God's grace, we will. What an opportunity for the people of God to display the mercies that he's shown us and to serve others as he has served us, and to do it in a way that we will, by God's grace, commend his gospel and seek to make disciples in the wake of this.
Yes, that perspective is huge. I think back, my family lives in Houston, and when Hurricane Harvey hit a few years ago and flooded so much of Houston, my mom's house flooded. She's lived there for 45 years, never flooded, but it flooded in Harvey. And it's just hard to make sense of all that. You know, Tom, as I think about the state of Florida and the fact that you guys have the, I think, I love our governor here in Texas, but Ron DeSantis has to be the best governor in the country. And the things that are being done in Florida, the way it's being run, seems to me to be a way that pleases the Lord. But then you get hammered with this terrible hurricane.
Yeah.
How do you process that?
Well, you know, we know that God rides upon the storm, that he rules and overrules the weather. Jesus calmed the winds and waves when he walked the earth, was on that boat. And we know that the winds and waves still obey his voice today from heaven. And so I have no doubt, zero doubt, that he orchestrated the direction of this storm. We prayed that it would stay in the Gulf. And yet, you know, every time you pray, God, don't let this storm hit us, you know that it's going to hit somebody. So I just believe that God in his wisdom determined that this was the right path for him to receive glory, for him to do good to his people. And so we receive it from his hand in that way. And I want to say, too, amen to what you said about Governor DeSantis. He fulfills Romans 13 in being a deacon of God in the civil realm. And we had linemen and repair trucks lined up. They were staged outside the path of the storm hours before landfall on yesterday. And, I mean, as far as the eye could see, I saw pictures sent to me. It looked like thousands, must have been thousands of these trucks that were all over, from all over the United States, that came ready to help. Disaster relief teams. I've been contacted by the Southern Baptist Disaster Relief folks, coordinated through Florida. They're ready to come and help other churches, pastor friends, individuals. And you look at this, I mean, there was rescue boats from Texas and the Cajun Navy, you know, the all on the road coming here. And you think, what is that? Well, that's God's grace. That doesn't happen in most countries of the world. And why does it happen in America? It happens in America because of God's grace that he has showered upon this land for generations. And I've been reminded again that those that want to destroy this nation are seeking to destroy what God in his kindness has enabled to be built over hundreds of years. And this is not about the nation per se, but it is about what God has done here. And I've just been resolved more in my efforts to pray and labor for the welfare of God's people throughout this land for the glory of our King Jesus.
Amen. Tom, what do you say to the people that want to make this about climate change?
I think they're off the rocker. I think they just... I do. Brother, I mean, I want to say it as kindly as I can, but they're crazy. And they need to read Schellenberger's book on Apocalypse Never. I would encourage anybody who's concerned about climate change to read this book by a man who's not a Christian, who was one of the great climate alarmists and started doing his own research. And when he documented that research. That book is irrefutable. At least nobody's attempted to refute it that I've said. And he's not a Christian. He's not grinding any axe, but he is trying to deal with reality and facts. So this is not the first hurricane that's hit our nation or Florida. It's not going to be the last. Romans 8 gives us a good explanation of what's going on. All creation groans, awaiting for this consummation, the redemption of the sons of God. And that day is going to come. The Lord Jesus appears and splits the heavens, and every knee will bow because every eye will see him and every tongue will confess that he is Lord of all lords and King of all kings to the glory of God the Father.
Amen. Amen. Well, Tom, I know a lot of people are hurting this morning in Southwest Florida and lost loved ones, lost property, don't know what to do, lost their homes. Would you, my brother, pray for them and just lead us in a prayer?
Yes. Our Father, we bow to you. You are the God of the wind and the rain. This hurricane didn't come up on its own. You have ruled and overruled in it, and we bow and receive this from your hand. We know that we deserve nothing but judgment and condemnation for our sins, but because of Christ, we have received mercy and grace, and we praise you for that. We praise you for salvation. God, please, please comfort those who have been devastated, those who have lost loved ones. Help your people to be strong and full of faith, to minister in the wake of this storm for the glory of our King. Please, God, magnify your grace and your glory. Help your people. By your Spirit, help us. Help us to remember Christ, to commend Christ, and do what seems good in your sight. Humble us before you and revive us and get a name for yourself in Florida and throughout the United States and this world, that all may see that you are God. You alone are God. We plead with you for these mercies in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. What a great prayer. Well, thank you, my friend, and I appreciate you calling in, and I appreciate you taking time out. We'll keep praying, and let us know, too, how we can help. I know lots of people are going to, lots of churches will send people to help, and there's going to be a lot of work to do for sure.
Amen. So, amen. Jeff, thank you so much, brother. I appreciate your kindness.
Thank you. God bless you. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and that was Dr. Tom Askell, who's pastor of a church in Cape Coral, Florida, and they were hit hard, and he had church members that lost their homes, and many, he said, the loss of life, the sheriff said, was in the hundreds, and so we need to be praying for those people as they were devastated, as businesses were lost, and all the devastation that comes with a terrible storm like that. As I mentioned, I think about what happened in Houston. All my roots are in Houston, and to see my family devastated by a flood, my mother's house. My mom's getting ready to be 94, so she was in her early 90s when that flood came, and that's just a difficult experience for anybody, but especially for an older person. So let me just encourage you, as you go about your day today, as you watch videos and things and you see the floodwaters go through Southwest Florida and all the clips that you'll see, remember to pray for those people and pray that God would use a terrible situation and turn it for good. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And that's Romans 8:28. That's in the book, and it's not been removed from the book. And so God can take this devastation and use it and turn it for good as we trust him. And think about how the Lord may want to use you to go to Florida, perhaps, to help people or to provide some resources to help. This is an opportunity for the body of Christ to come together and make a difference. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about the rainbow, reclaiming the rainbow, and God brings the rainbow after the storm. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Fall Share-a-thon is coming October 11th through 13th. And it's an opportunity for you to partner with us as we push back against the erosion of godly values.
My name is Ray from Arlington, Ohio, and I'm a nurse. And I just am so thankful that I discovered AFR and love that the truth is being told and has increased my biblical perspective on what is really going on in today's not only medical world, but the world in general.
Through listener support by the grace of God, AFR has ministered to listeners across the country for more than 40 years.
We're so enriched and so edified by the fact that we get truthful, honest, meaningful information and updates on what's going on in our country. And it's a news source we can trust. And that's why we are constant supporters of AFR.
Thanks for your support during Share-a-thon.
Thank you and God bless you.
Trump derangement syndrome was a virus that spread like COVID.
Yeah.
And CNN decided, you know what? We're not going to do news coverage anymore. We're going to go full board against Trump.
You're driving your business in the ground.
Yeah. That's why I think they should take this opportunity and go back to doing news instead of doing progressive propaganda.
Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Where is God when the doctor gives you bad news? Or your TV blares with the latest disaster? Can our Savior be trusted even then? I'm Charles Morris. Join me for Haven Today this week as we think about how the Lord is faithful even through the hard times on a series called Overcoming the World.
Haven Today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at AFR.net.
If you are 65 or older, you know this. It's really frustrating to deal with out-of-pocket medical expenses, watching your hard-earned dollars just flying out the window. Well, here's something that can really help, and it's worth taking a minute to look into. MediShare has a new option called MediShare 65 Plus. MediShare is a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills. And it really is a community. People encourage and pray for each other. And MediShare 65 Plus is a low-cost option for those with Medicare Parts A and B that fills in the gaps where Medicare stops. You can lock in one low monthly price for up to 10 years. It's great for peace of mind. And you can use your Medicare-approved doctor and get prescription savings, dental and vision savings. Very worth looking into, and it's so easy to find out why people rave about the customer service at MediShare. They're great to talk to on the phone. Here's the number. Call 833-45-BIBLE. That's 833-45-BIBLE, 833-45-BIBLE.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. Hey, let me ask you a question. What do you think of when you see a rainbow? Do you think of the covenant that God made with Noah and his descendants? Or do you think of the LGBTQI community? You know, it's sad, but true. Most people under the age of 40, I don't have empirical data on this, but I would surmise most people under the age of 40 don't even know what the rainbow is in the Bible. They just always associate the rainbow with the LGBTQI plus community. When the Obergefell decision in the Supreme Court came down legalizing gay marriage, everybody was putting out the rainbow flag. Even the White House under Obama lit up the White House in rainbow colors. Gilbert Baker is the one credited with using the flag as the symbol of the LGBTQI plus community. He said this, "The rainbow is in the Bible. It's a covenant between God and all living creatures." That is true. But he says, God knows, paraphrased, God knows the struggle of gays and lesbians, and the rainbow flag is a symbol of hope, diversity, and social action. You know, it's a pretty sad day when people take the things of God and they twist them and pervert them to promote their sin. And that's what we have taking place in America. And that's what we have going on with the rainbow. And maybe you're not very familiar with the rainbow. You know, when God created the world in Genesis chapter 1, there was no rainbow. Before the flood, there is an indication that it had never rained before. And so Noah makes you even more appreciative of Noah's faithfulness. He's preaching about something that has never happened before. Well, obviously, there's never been a flood, but there's never been rain. And so he's telling God's going to destroy the world with a flood. And what's a flood? Well, it's water that comes down from the sky. It's rain. What's that? We've never seen that. That's never happened before. But he was faithful. He's called a preacher of righteousness. He was faithful to preach as he was building the ark, the ark of safety, and the ark to get anyone through, the animals, Noah's family, but anybody else that would trust God, they could have gotten through the storm and been saved. And so there has never been rain, but then comes the flood. And after the flood, when Noah comes off the ark, you know, he's on the ark for 370 days, give or take a day or two, a little over a year. It's a long time to be on the ark with all the animals. And so he was excited when the ark finally rested on one of the mountains of Ararat, and he got to come off the ark. And he, the very first thing that he did was built an altar to the Lord and offered sacrifices to the Lord, to the God who was faithful and true and gracious to save him and to bring him and his family through the flood, although everybody else and everything, every creature with the breath of life in its nostrils died. So the fish remained because they were okay in the flood, but everything else died, unless you were on the ark. And so he gets out, he worships God. It was a soothing aroma. It was pleasing to the Lord. And then the Lord told him, listen, be fruitful and multiply is basically what he said to Adam and Eve. He blessed them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. That's what he said to Noah and his sons. And he blessed them and he told them, listen, I've given you all anything that moves, you can eat it. You have you can eat meat as well as plants, and an indication that maybe they didn't eat meat before, but they can now. And then he told them, listen, blood is sacred. Don't eat the blood. Don't eat the flesh with the blood. You drain the blood out, because God was giving them a principle that blood is sacred and special. Blood symbolizes judgment, as God turned the river of the Nile into blood, and it also symbolizes atonement and covering. The life of the flesh is in the blood, and it's the blood, by reason of the life, that makes atonement. Leviticus 17:11. He tells them that, then he institutes capital punishment. Whoever kills a man, by man his blood shall be shed, because man is made in the image of God. And he sets that up as the standard now, that there is capital punishment for murder. And then he gives a covenant, and he tells Noah, it's an unconditional covenant. The Lord spoke to Noah and his sons with him, saying, now behold, I myself do establish my covenant with you, my pledge with you, my pact with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, of all that comes out of the ark, even every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you, and all flesh shall never again be cut off by the water of the flood, neither shall there again be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant which I am making between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all successive generations. The Noahic covenant is still in effect today. He said, I set my bow, my rainbow, in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come about when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and never again shall the water become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the cloud, then I will look upon it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. And God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." That is the roots and the biblical passage dealing with the rainbow. Now, the rainbow was an unconditional promise. It had nothing to do with Noah doing certain things, with man doing certain things, with animals doing certain things. It was just God saying, "I'm never going to destroy the world again with a flood as I just destroyed it." Now, very important to remember, that's good news for Noah, because the earth is changed after the flood, and it's going to rain. So if it never rained before the flood, Noah wasn't used to rain. All he knew was, hey, when it starts raining, that means it's going to flood the earth. And so he would have been very scared any time it started to rain in this new world. And so God told him, "I'm never going to destroy the world with a flood. So you don't need to be afraid. When the rain comes down, you don't need to hightail it to the ark." So that was a covenant that provided great peace for Noah. And it gave Noah a beautiful, and gives us a beautiful sign. There is nothing in nature that is more beautiful than a rainbow, with all the colors, the seven colors of the rainbow: red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. Those are the seven colors of the rainbow, and it is beautiful. And when you see a double rainbow, so beautiful. And the rainbow is a picture of God's amazing grace. That's what it's supposed to remind us of, God's amazing grace. That God in his grace said, "I will never destroy the world with a flood." And, you know, we think about, well, I guess God got that out of his system, and man didn't do the things they did in Noah's day. But the Lord doesn't say that. It says when Noah built the altar to the Lord and offered the burnt offering, and the Lord smelled the soothing aroma. This is Genesis 8:21. And the Lord said to himself, "I will never again curse the ground on account of man, for the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth. And I will never again destroy every living thing as I have done." Man hasn't changed. Man is still sinful. Man still deserves to be judged and destroyed. But God in his mercy, and God in his love, and God in his grace said, "I have set my bow in the cloud, my rainbow in the cloud, as a sign of the covenant that I will never flood the world again as I did in Genesis chapter 7. And so we look at the rainbow and say, well, that reminds me of God's grace. That reminds me of God's mercy. That reminds me of the promise of God that he's never going to do that again. And just as on earth, the rainbow is the most beautiful thing in nature, in heaven, God's grace is the most beautiful part of heaven. Nobody goes to heaven apart from God's grace. And, you know, what do you need to have a rainbow? You need a storm and you need sunshine. A rainbow comes when the sunshine reflects and refracts through the water droplets to create those beautiful colors. And so you have man's sinfulness, so to speak, the storm, the darkness of the storm, and the sunshine, God's grace. And those two things come together to form the rainbow. And God's grace comes in response to our sin. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. But the scripture says in Romans 5:20, where sin abounded, grace abounded all the more. And so grace, as the song says, is greater than all our sin. Now, what is so awful in our world today is you take a group that is highlighting sexual immorality and highlighting perversion, and they would take something that's a symbol of God's grace and say, this is going to be our symbol, this is going to be our sign. That is a dangerous thing to do, because you don't want to mess with God's stuff. There are God is patient, so patient. And the rainbow is a picture also of God's, not only of God's grace, but God's tremendous patience. He was patient in the days of Noah, not bringing the flood just immediately, giving them time to repent, but nobody did repent other than Noah and his family. He was patient in the days of Noah, and so the rainbow is a picture of God's patience, a picture of God's grace. But when you take those things and twist them and pervert them, which is just like the devil, he's always, never ceases to make crooked the straight paths of the Lord, you put yourself on dangerous ground. Because in the Bible, as God is patient with man, there are some times where he's not patient with man. You start messing in the things of God and boom, you can die. Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, they burned strange fire before the Lord. They were the priests under the Aaronic priesthood, the chief priests, and they burned strange fire before the Lord, and fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them. They died in the presence of the Lord because they were messing with God's stuff and in God's arena and the things of God, the sacred things of God. Aaron is Moses' brother. Nadab and Abihu were nephews of Moses, and God is no respecter of persons. You mess with God's holiness and you die. You know, in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 4, they brought the Ark of the Covenant into battle against the Philistines, and the Ark was taken, and the Philistines took this box back with them to Philistia. And they thought, hey, we've won a great victory. And they brought the Ark of the Covenant to Ashdod, and they put it in the house of Dagon, their false god, a fish god. And they came in the morning, and Dagon's on his face before the Ark of the Covenant. So they put him back up on his pedestal, and they come back the next morning. And not only had he fallen on his face, but the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off from the threshold. Only the trunk of Dagon was left to him, falling down before the God of Israel. And then what God did, you take the ark, okay, God gave them tumors. Literally, hemorrhoids is what he gave the Philistines. And he ravaged them with these pains and these terrible, the scripture calls them tumors, and they started to pass the Ark of the Covenant on to the other cities, the five cities of Philistia, and nobody wanted it, and they said, get this out of here, this Ark is going to kill us. They sent it back to Israel, and when the Ark returned to Israel, it went to a place called Beth Shemesh, and the people of Beth Shemesh looked into the ark to see, to make sure that nobody had, the Philistines hadn't taken anything out of it. And when they looked into it, boom, they were killed. And a bunch of them were killed. You don't mess with the holiness of God. And so it is a scary thing, a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We have in our world today where so many people identify the rainbow with perversion. The rainbow is not to be identified with perversion. And God is the judge. And as Solomon said, the conclusion when all has been heard is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For the Lord will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. And remember this about the rainbow. That says that God will never destroy the world again with a flood. But 2 Peter 3:10 says God is going to destroy the world one day with fire. Jesus baptizes in the Holy Spirit and fire. The Holy Spirit for believers, fire for unbelievers. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and we're talking about reclaiming the rainbow. The rainbow comes after the storm. We're praying for the people of Florida hit by Hurricane Ian. And when we come back from the break, we're going to be taking your calls. The number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to talk to you about Hurricane Ian. I'd love to talk to you about reclaiming the rainbow and God's grace and God's mercy and how we can get in on the goodness of God. We're going to take a break. I'd love to take your calls. Don't go away.
The AFA Resource Center has all your favorite items. Everything from books, movies, shirts, and even hats. Introducing AFA's polyester and twill hats, starting at just $18. Whether you're into fashion, a collector, or you're just having a bad hair day, these hats are just what you need. You can buy one for yourself or a friend. Purchase your AFA hat today at resources.afa.net.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe that our ministry, as well as everything in the heavens and on earth, belongs to God, and our role is that of a trusted manager.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
The credit card debt happened when my daughter was born. I was using one credit card account to roll over into another credit card account, and it was snowballing.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
When I first called Trinity, the representative understood the need based on the situation. They were great people to work with. From the first phone call that I made, they had me on a track to mitigate the credit card debt.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
Working with Trinity gave me the ability to save thousands of dollars. My name's Doug, and thanks to Trinity, I'm debt-free for keeps.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Here at the AFA Foundation, we help families just like yours shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
AFA Foundation's Associate Director, Chelsea Wildman.
We would love to work with you to see if a charitable gift annuity is right for your situation. With a charitable gift annuity, you'll be giving to the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association, and you'll be ensuring that you receive a lifetime income and excellent tax benefits. You can fund a CGA through cash, credit card, or stock. Why not reach out to the AFA Foundation team today?
A charitable gift annuity benefits you and helps ensure the AFA will impact America for generations to come. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Give us a call and let's talk about a charitable gift annuity.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. If you want to know more about me, you can follow me on social media. I'm on Twitter at Jeff Shreve, JeffShreve. And I'm very straightforward in what I think and what I believe. I kind of see my spiritual gift. If you looked at spiritual gifts like tools, I would be a sledgehammer. That's kind of how God has designed me. I think I have a lot more in common with John the Baptist than John the Apostle. I'm just kind of wired that way. I see things very black and white, and things are right or things are wrong. I realize there are gray areas. 1 Corinthians 8 preached a sermon on that years ago and called it Now Concerning Gray Areas, Meat Sacrificed to Idols. We have those things in the Christian life. But so much of the Christian life is black and white, and we need to I believe, have more and more preachers. As I talked yesterday with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, we need more and more men of God to stand up and speak up for the Lord, to speak the truth in love and not be concerned about people getting offended per se. You don't want to be obnoxious and offensive for the sake of being offensive. You want to speak the truth in love, but let people know the truth and be a faithful watchman on the wall. Well, we would love to take your calls during this segment. The number to call is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. In the last segment, I talked about reclaiming the rainbow. You know, when we have a terrible storm, what do we see after a storm? We so often see a rainbow. It's God's promise that he's not going to destroy the world again with a flood, but he is going to destroy the world one day with fire. The Bible says this in 2 Peter chapter 3. Know this first of all, that in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lust, and saying, "Where's the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation." There's never been a cataclysm, and you guys are talking about this cataclysmic event when the Lord comes back. Well, we've never had that. And then Peter says, "For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice. They're willingly ignorant that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water." Talking about the flood of Genesis 7 and 8. "Through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men." The rainbow in the sky tells us that God's promise, "I will never again destroy the world with a flood, but he will destroy the world with fire." And as Morris Chapman used to sing, "There's going to be a fire one day that the firemen can't put out. But by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men." Hey, when you see the rainbow in the clouds, that is your alarm, your trigger, your shout from heaven saying, "My grace is sufficient for you." But you have to respond, because the day of grace doesn't last forever. It is right now. It is available right now. Behold, now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. But we don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know if we're going to make it to tomorrow. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow may not come. All we have is today, and there's grace available today. Just like the door of the ark was open for the people of Noah's day, but it wasn't open forever. And when God called Noah and his family into the ark, then he shut the door behind them, and the day of grace was over. Well, we have Nora on the line. Nora, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, thank you for allowing me to be on.
Yes. Go ahead.
I was calling because, you know, as a single mother, you know, and I have 18 grandkids that are growing up here, and I am very concerned about our nation now. I know that in the beginning, the First Amendment was put there for liberty and safeguard for justice for all. And American people need to understand the reason why we were founded on God we trust is because there's nothing outside of that. And George Washington stated that if our country did not go by the Bible and the principles, that we wouldn't know how quick destruction would overwhelm us, and that's what's happening. I hear a lot of people crying, "I want my rights, I want my freedom," but if you don't have the First Amendment, you're not getting anything under it, and that's what's being attacked, because they know if they remove the First Amendment, nothing else is a void, and nothing else, we cannot cry about our freedom. Now, the addiction that's rising is because whenever they find us incompetent because we're under the influence of their poison that they're feeding everybody and becoming monsters, They're altering things that God shouldn't have. And, you know, sometimes God's got to step in, but when he removes our protection, that's the only way we're going to get attention. And I am, as a mother, really concerned about the future generation.
Well, yeah, I can understand that for sure, Nora. I think that, you know, many parents of young kids, I'm a grandparent, I have three young grandchildren and a fourth on the way, and so you're thinking, what kind of world are they going to grow up in? And I think we just have to trust the Lord with that and say, okay, God has given us these kids. We need to be very careful with them, with what goes into their mind and into their heart, and we need to lead them to Jesus. And the wonderful thing about children is you can, by God's grace, take them to heaven as they trust Christ, and we can share with them. But we do know that in the last days, difficult times will come. The Lord made that clear, and so we want to just know that, and we want to pray for them and pray God's protection. But things are going to get hard, I think, in America, and we want God to bring a great revival. God wants to bring a great revival, so we're praying for that, and we need to stand up and be counted. But just know that so many that came before us, they gave their lives for the gospel, and we need to be willing to do that too, trusting God every step of the way and trusting him to take care of our kids. He loves them more than we do. And so I would just encourage you, Nora, as I think you've stated the case well, there is an attack on the First Amendment and our ability to speak the truth, and how long before they make it a crime to say what the Bible says about homosexuality and transgenderism and those kinds of things that are destroying lives. They'll put people like me in prison. If they can't cancel you, they will incarcerate you, and then from incarceration comes extermination, and we've seen that happen in history. So we just need to be faithful and true. And so I appreciate you calling in. I appreciate you listening to the broadcast. Well, the number to call is 888-589-8840. If something's on your heart, you'd like to talk about it. I had a text question that came in from my wife, and she asked this. She's driving, so she's not supposed to be texting, but anyway, she asked, how does a believer handle wearing a rainbow? We want to support what the rainbow represents, God's grace, but we don't want to be misinterpreted by wearing clothing that is rainbow-oriented, so it gives the appearance that we're supporting another movement, the LGBTQI+ movement. I think that Christians need to regain the truth of the rainbow. The rainbow is God's, and that's for God's people, and that's the promise of God's grace. And having a rainbow that would have Genesis chapter 9 on it, the verses that speak to that covenant, the Noahic covenant, that's also a covenant for us because it's to Noah and his descendants and to all the animals, anything that breathes air. God is not going to destroy the world with a flood. So I think that we proudly tell people this is the message of the rainbow. It is God's grace, and it is available to us right now, but it's not going to be available forever. Well, we have Lee on the line from Virginia. Lee, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, I listen to your show a lot. I really enjoy it. I've got a question for you. It might be a hard question. Maybe there is no answer. In reading Genesis, God told Adam and Eve, you kind of alluded to it a while ago, but he told Adam and Eve to go forth to multiply and replenish, not fill, but replenish the earth. And it's the same exact thing that he told Noah after the flood, go forth and replenish, which means that it was, even in Adam and Eve's times, replenish means refill, like there was something here before. And
yeah,
that's the question.
Okay. Well, I don't see where it says replenish. It says be fruitful, Genesis 1:28, and God blessed them, Adam and Eve, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And that is the word that's used in the New American Standard. That word in the Hebrew is mala, which means to fill, to be full, fullness, abundance. I wouldn't view that as refill, Lee. I would view that to Adam and Eve, it would be fill. Now, it could be interpreted to Noah that that's going to be a refill because there are only eight people, Noah and his wife. And Noah and his wife didn't have any more children. Noah was 600 years old, 601 when he got off the ark. But his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, they had children. And so all of us are descendants of Noah, and we either come from Shem's line, he is the father of the Jews, the Shemites or the Semites. We come from Shem's line, or we come from Ham's line, or we come from Japheth's line. So they replenished the earth, but Adam and Eve were the first two people. So they filled the earth initially. So I appreciate that, Lee. Thanks for your kind comments about the program. Thank you for listening. Well, we have Mark on the line from Houston. Mark, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yeah, hi. You were just talking about the judgment that's coming with fire, and I don't remember what verse it is, but in 2 Peter he says that God doesn't desire that we should perish, but that all to come to repentance. What does that mean?
Well, I think it means exactly what it says, that the Lord, judgment is coming, but the Lord doesn't want to judge. He wants to save. So John 3:16 says that God did not, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Father did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. God is a Savior. He is also the judge, but he wants to save. He doesn't want to judge. So he's not willing, he's not wishing that any would perish. He wants people to come to Christ. And when it says the Lord is not, 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, because they were saying, the mockers, scoffers, well, where's the promise of his coming? If he's coming, why hasn't he come? Well, because he's patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. So the desire of God is to save. He is waiting for one more person to turn from sin and turn to him. I'm so glad I got saved, Mark, in 1980, and I'm so glad the Lord didn't come back in 1979. And so as Christians, we want the Lord to come, but as we think about, well, those that haven't yet trusted him, we want there to be more time so that they don't perish, so that they would come to repentance. And they would, repentance is just another word for salvation in that context, so that they would come to repentance and faith and receive Christ as Savior and Lord before it's too late. But then the very next verse says, but the day of the Lord will come. It will come. So God is patient, but his patience doesn't last forever. And the day of the Lord will come and judgment will come. But God would much rather save than judge. And I think that's what that means. Anything else? Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I just was confused by that word repentance, but you clarified it.
All right. Well, thank you, brother. Well, we are about out of time, so I apologize to Bobby and John. Thank you for calling in. If you call in tomorrow, we can take your calls, hopefully. And thank you for listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm Pastor Jeff Shreve. Let me encourage you, just as the Lord puts on your heart, to pray for Florida and pray for those dear people who have lost so much. Many have lost loved ones, and many have lost their homes, and just looking at just an overwhelming mess. So may God use the bad for good in many lives. And hey, remember, wherever you are, shine for Christ and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and he will use you to make a difference. I'll be with you again tomorrow. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.